Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be in church today, to be in your house. God, Lord, we honor and love you. We thank you, God, that you're moving in people's hearts. And we thank you, God, that you're in this place. Lord, I thank you there's life, your life. Power, the power of you is in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill people up in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Well, we've been talking about 2 weeks ago, I did a message. And by the way, if you haven't heard Tuss's message from last week, I would really encourage you to go onto the YouTube channel and take a moment to listen to that. It's a fantastic message. But the week before that, I spoke on hearing God's voice and what that means. And the message title was, God has spoken and yet is still graciously speaking today. God has spoken. That's good news if you've ever had the thought or asked the question, why is God silent? Why is God not speaking to me? Well, the good news is this, God has already spoken. He's already spoken. But yet, he graciously continues to speak to this day. We believe as a church that God is not silent, that God is still speaking to his people today, which is very exciting. And the different ways that we listed, I had seven, I'm sure there's more, but the seven that I had listed as how God speaks to us are his word. I believe that he speaks through the Bible to people today, and it's the Holy Spirit that reveals that scripture. It what takes an ordinary book and makes it a supernatural book, because the Holy Spirit is involved in that process. The second is his law. God put law on our heart. He wrote it on our hearts and our mind. So when you go to do something that's immoral, how do you know that it's immoral? Because God put it in your heart that that's immoral, that that's not good. You somehow intrinsically or instinctively know that it's not good to steal your neighbor's car. We just know. But God put that there. Another way God speaks is through his creation. Creation cries out. And the best way to illustrate this one is just spend 4 hours driving to Yosemite and have a look. And you'll see creation. In fact, just look at the person next to you and you see creation. God's creation cries out. It is overwhelmingly obvious with the complexity of the human body, the complexity of the universe and the world and how everything functions and somehow functions in an orderly manner. How does that happen? Because of God. God also, another way God speaks is through eternity. The Bible says that he put eternity in our heart. That means that there's something within you that will ask the question, why? Is there more? There's got to be more to just this existence. Why am I here? Purpose questions. We continually ask things like that. And it's because God put eternity in our heart. Next one we looked at, and a way in which God speaks, is through testimony. It's the testimony of other people. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. To me, what does that mean is when we're in a season of trouble, of frustration, it's always awesome to hear someone else's testimony as an encouragement to go, you know what? Thank God for Jesus, because there is hope. If he can do it in them, he can do it in me. Amen. And I believe that through the testimony, you need to know your testimony is powerful. Never allow the enemy to say you have a boring testimony compared to someone else. No, no, no. You have the perfect testimony for someone else. And if you ask and pray, God will reveal that person to you. Your testimony can be the last piece in a puzzle that someone needs to find Christ. So I want to encourage you, never, never allow the enemy to silence your testimony. Always allow the Holy Spirit at the right time to prompt you to share what God's done in you and through you. And now we get to the last two. And I'm actually really glad that last week, 2 weeks ago, I got the message kind of, we didn't get through the whole thing, because these two kind of do require a little bit more time. We kind of need to marinate in this a little bit more. And it is how God speaks to us is through His Spirit, and the last one through His people, meaning spiritual gifts, that God uses spiritual gifts to minister to people. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt you with a word of knowledge, or He'll prompt you with a prophecy for someone, and God will stir that person up. I've experienced this in my life. I tell you, it's not something that I experience every single day of my life, but there have been moments in my life where people have called me up on the phone and said, Mark, God just spoke to me. And it has been unbelievable how accurate and how pivotal that was in my life for what God was doing through my life. And so I believe that this is something from Scripture, and I plan to take a little bit more time from Scripture to show you why we believe that God not only has spoken, but is still speaking today. So number six, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit. My point is here is to highlight the role of the Holy Spirit in revealing the truth of Scripture and how that works. And here comes one of my favorite verses. I say it and share it all the time. It's John 16:13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He'll tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. Everyone say future. Well done. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals truth. That's a bold statement in today's climate. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. And that got me thinking. To me, that means I ask this question. Do I have the ability by myself, independent of the Holy Spirit, to reveal truth? I don't think so. I don't think I have the capacity within myself to be able to determine what is absolute truth. And the reason I come to this conclusion is we can recognize truth, but we can't determine truth. The reason I come to this conclusion is because there are genuine, beautiful people who believe in some pretty wild things, some pretty crazy religion, and they're genuine people. And I ask myself the question, how can they cross that line to believing in what they believe? And I believe it's simply this, is we can recognize truth, but we can't determine truth. And so we are vulnerable to believing and being deceived. We can be lied to. We can be deceived about something that is simply not true. And that's why we need the role of the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us so that we can know when we've caught ourselves up in deception. You know, I love hearing the testimonies of people in this church who have come out of cults, who have come out of environments that were not healthy, that were not life-giving, that didn't lift the name of Jesus up. And now they're in this environment and they have encountered the Holy Spirit and truth has been revealed. And you can hear in their voice that the language that they use, Mark, you don't understand. I'm now free. I'm free. I don't live with a bondage and a fear and a guilt and a shame of all of this stuff. And what does truth do? It sets you free. Jesus sets us free. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals truth. You need the Holy Spirit in your life, giving you discernment and wisdom to determine what's true, especially in this day and age. We live in a day and age right now where I don't know whether I trust anything I see on social media anymore. I don't know if it's AI. or IA. I don't know, I can't tell. I've watched things and then come back to that same thing only to discover it's the one on top was what I saw previously and the one below is the real version of what actually happened. And it's like, man, I believed in that first one. And we live in that day and age where we need the Holy Spirit. We are capable of belief, but we are not capable of belief in absolute truth without the Holy Spirit. We are capable of believing things. There's plenty of people who believe in plenty of different things, right? We are capable of belief, but we are not capable of belief in an absolute truth without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, His function and His role that reveals what's true. We are capable of belief, but we need the Holy Spirit to reveal if our belief is true. Here's a great verse to recognize the role of the Spirit's involvement in revealing truth. It's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. And if you're taking notes, this is a great time to take photos of the screen. It says, no one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. We can tell you these things. We do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. You need the Holy Spirit functioning in your life, revealing truth, so you don't walk into deception, so you don't live under a lie. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. Practical thing that I do is I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth. Holy Spirit, what's true here? I received 2 bids this week on the same job on the church that we're looking at purchasing. One bid came in at $80,000. $80,000. I got the next person to come in and look at the same job, $5,000. Crazy. But what's true? You listen to the spiel from the people telling you the work that they've got to do, and then you listen to the next guy, hey, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do this. The next guy is, oh, it'll take about 10 minutes. We'll just take it out and you're good. What's true? The core question is, can you, independently of the Holy Spirit, determine what is true? My opinion is no. I believe this means absolute truth isn't learned, it's revealed. Absolute truth isn't something you learn. It's something the Spirit reveals. When you read Scripture, 2 people can read Scripture, 2 wonderful people. One who doesn't have the Holy Spirit functioning and working in their life, they can read the Bible and go, huh, and be dismissive. But another person can read the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit is revealing that Scripture to them, and they can put the book down and weep for half an hour and be completely moved and their life completely changed. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit revealing truth. Some people can read Scripture and become very arrogant about what they read, but they don't realize it's not a scientific book, it's a love letter, a book of redemption, of God saving mankind from Himself, sending His Son Jesus so that we could be right reconciled back to our Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the truth that is in Scripture. The reason this matters is because of this following interpretation of Scripture from Pastor Mark Cotter. It says in Acts 2:45, this is why we need the Holy Spirit and wisdom and discernment. It says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. So I think we should all sell our houses and our properties and let's make Lafayette happen in Jesus' name. How many people think that's the Holy Spirit working through me right now? Because that's what they did, right? Right? What? We're not going to sell our houses. We're not going to do what the Scripture does. You see how you need the Holy Spirit to actually help reveal the correct context and what's really happening there in that moment of time? You need the Holy Spirit. Do you know how many people tell how many creepy guys tell women, God told me you're going to be my wife, and the wife is getting real sketchy vibes about the whole situation. It's possible that I can poorly interpret scripture to mean this. Everybody, let's sell our homes. Does that verse mean we're all supposed to sell our homes for a new church home? No, of course not. The reason this is important is because the Holy Spirit is the difference between our human intellect understanding the meaning of scripture and the Holy Spirit revealing scripture. I think this is actually a very valid point for the Bay Area. A highly educated area, the temptation of using human intellect to understand scripture and actually pretend like you're the most spiritual person in the room because you know every Greek definition of every word and every Hebrew definition, but your life is miserable. You're a pain to be around. There isn't the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you learnt scripture, but it didn't change you. Versus being around someone who sees a verse and the Holy Spirit just wrecks them about something and convicts them about something that's in their life, and God, they allow God to surgically remove that thing, no matter how much pain it causes. And in the years to come, being around that person is an absolute joy and pleasure. You walk away feeling like that person has been with Jesus. And that's when we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal scripture. Reading your Bible should be supernaturally exciting. It should be filled with faith for believing that God and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal it to you. My main point is it's not our education or intelligence that reveals scripture, but the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean intelligence and education should be neglected. No. Education, intelligence is brilliant. We should use that, but it should serve what God's called you to do. Amen. You can end up serving education, become the smartest man in the world, but that's great. What does that profit you if you haven't laid down your life for Christ and actually given Him everything? So all of the young people here studying, this is not your excuse to not study. This is your reason. You're being given a biblical reason to actually study and allow the Holy Spirit to help you. So I'm praying that that actually should stir up when you read scripture to allow the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's role in revealing scripture to you. Amen. Number seven. Another way God speaks to us, through His people / spiritual gifts. He speaks to people through using His people spiritual gifts. Has anybody experienced or encountered anything like this? This is a very exciting thing about how God functions. So back to my statement, I believe God has spoken and is still graciously speaking to His people today. And I believe that God uses spiritual gifts today to speak to His people. Now, I know in this environment, I can say that and get a whole bunch of amens, but that's quite a controversial statement in a lot of churches, because there are people who believe that God no longer uses spiritual gifts to speak to people, that ended with the apostles. And I know I've talked about this before, but I think this is something that we need to keep preaching, get down into people's souls and people's hearts so they really capture what God's word truly says on this. I believe that God still uses spiritual gifts today and He uses His people to do that. I believe this claim should always be under a theological microscope. Amen. And the question is, was that God speaking to you through man? Or how do you question if that was God speaking to you through men? Amen? It's a very important question. Was that person who just claimed to give me a prophetic word or claimed to give me a word of knowledge, how do I discern and know whether that actually was from God? Because it's pretty important, don't you think? Because people can get it wrong. And if we're talking about God using spiritual gifts, I want to know for sure that that is put under the theological microscope, so I know that I'm not being deceived, but I'm actually being encouraged, which is what the scripture says the purpose of spiritual gifts are, for the edification of the body, to do what God's called me to do. So very important questions, and rightfully so. We should make a big deal over the interpretation of scripture, amen? It matters having scripture interpreted correctly. It matters that the doctrine that's coming from the Sunday platform is true, and it is sound, and it is biblical, right? I believe the diligence applied to the interpretation of scripture should be the same diligence applied to the interpretation of a word of knowledge or a prophecy outlined in scripture. We should have the same diligence. And here's why I say this, because there seems to be a skepticism that creeps in. Ah, was that God? Was that really God? I'm not sure if that was God. How do you know if it's God? I want to check to see if that was really a word of knowledge or really that was a prophetic word. And if that's our claim, God's still using spiritual gifts. I'll say it this way. The same diligence applied to the skepticism of a word of knowledge or prophecy should be the same diligence applied to the authenticity of a word of knowledge or a prophecy, right? And this is what I feel like happens, is people, picture a courtroom. You've got a prosecutor, you've got a defense attorney, you've got a judge, and you've got a jury, right? What's on trial, is that word from God? Is that a prophecy from God? Or is that a word of knowledge from God? Is that truly from God? This is what people do. Some people lean all the way out to the prosecution and the defense doesn't get to speak. And they just shut the thing down and they're very skeptical, they're very cynical. No, it's not God, can't be God. It's a very unbalanced approach. It's not diligent. If you were truly authentic, you would at least allow the defense to give their say about whether or not this is a word from God or not, right? Because, and this is seems to be what seems to happen. Why is it that when someone claims to have heard God's voice for their lives, we only judge it skeptically instead of judging it biblically? It's unhealthy to be skeptical without also being optimal. It produces an unbalanced perspective. If you were suspicious of every car mechanic, so you should be, maybe not. But if you were suspicious, say you're a single man and you were suspicious of every woman out there, guess what? And you only ever thought about the reason why they can't be my future wife, chances are you're never going to find someone if you want to find someone. Vice versa for a woman. And I think it's exactly the same when it comes to actually discerning whether or not a word actually comes from God. And guess who's the one who helps in this process? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Meaning that the prophecy or word of knowledge that goes on trial, we should allow the Holy Spirit, we should allow the judge, which is scripture, to actually help us discern whether or not that word came from God. When it comes to hearing God's voice, I think it's sad when Christians make life-altering decisions based on their own internal self-objective jury, which is most likely biased. We're so biased for some reason. That's a verdict without a judge. It's a conclusion without a defense. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the pastor who goes on YouTube and rips apart every other pastor on YouTube without even allowing the other pastor to give a defense, without even knowing the other pastor and knowing what was really in that pastor's heart and what he was trying to share. I don't want to be that person. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to hear the other side of the story, to the Holy Spirit to help me. And I think we should go deeper. A great question to ask, are these same gifts functioning today? Because I believe God uses spiritual gifts today. Ephesians 4:11, which is another famous passage of scripture says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Key point. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So the question is, has the church achieved unity of faith, knowledge of God's Son, and maturity in the Lord? Have we achieved that? Well, if you continue to read that verse, Paul very obviously states and shows that we haven't. And if you have read the book of Revelation, you will read how Jesus addresses the seven church. Five of them get rebuked. So even from scripture, Ephesus was rebuked for leaving their first love. Pergamos was rebuked for tolerating false teaching. Thyatira rebuked for tolerating Jezebel. Sardius rebuked for being spiritually dead. I believe that God has spoken and is still graciously speaking today, meaning that I believe that it continued on. Another way to view it is from the book of 1 Corinthians in verse 13:9, it says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. To me, that tells me, some people used to use this as a verse to say the gift ceased and the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to people now through gifts. Some people use that. But the question that we have to ask is this. Has the time of perfection come? Are we living in a time of perfection right now? No. Just turn on the news. Just turn on your news channel. Local news. Doesn't matter what channel. You can see that we have not come to a place of perfection. People are still being sanctified. In fact, theologically, what I believe is that will happen at the white throne of judgment and the judgment for Christians. We will give an account for our gifts, talents, our resources, our relationships. We will give an account and have it be judged by God for that. But the judgment will be for reward. Amen. Because of Jesus. But for those without Jesus, they will be judged based on the sin and the things that they did in their life. The Bible says that the sea will give back the dead, the grave will give back the dead, and everything will be thrown into a pit of hell. I don't want to be in that camp. I want to be in camp Jesus. I thank God for Jesus for paying the price for my sin so that I can live right and enter into the throne room boldly and be in God's presence in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you. The frustration of not hearing God's voice doesn't come from God and is not because of God. So don't blame God. The frustration of not hearing God's voice comes from my impatience. It comes from me trying to control the situation that I'm in, meaning I want closure outside of God's timing. I want to do it my way. That's where the frustration comes from. Or is God silent or am I impatient? Is God silent or am I controlling? Is God silent or do I have selective hearing? I'm only waiting for and listening to what I want God to say. And until he says the thing that I want him to say, then everything else doesn't matter. I think often God's voice, when God wants to speak to us, because the Bible clearly says that my sheep hear my voice, my sheep know my voice. It's clear in scripture. But I think half the time, the challenge is there's a competition between God's voice and my voice. The fear that I create, the stress, the anxiety, all of the control that I try to put into a situation, instead of letting God do what God's going to do. I'm not saying you don't do anything, but I am saying you lean into God. I am saying you lean into the Word. I am saying you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. And in His timing, He will. I thank God that I wasn't pulled out earlier from challenging situations in my life. In other words, I wasn't pulled off the operating table halfway through surgery because I didn't like the pain. I thank God that He didn't do that, because now some of the battles that we face today, we're graced for it. We're graced for it because of what Jesus has done, because of what Jesus did in my life in that season. I'm grateful. It hurt, but I'm grateful we didn't run ahead of the season that God had us in, or try to run back to the season that we'd come from and just try to replicate the same season over and over because it makes us feel a certain way. I'm grateful that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in the season that we're in, because the Holy Spirit does want to. And I just want to finish with this. I felt like this was an encouragement to the men this morning. We may speak on this in the future, but the question I felt the Holy Spirit put on my heart is this. Are you trying to be a good person or a godly person? Because there's a very big difference, men. See, I think, when I think about my life, the enemy tries to deceive us into trying to be good people. See, the point is that we're not good people. We are righteous people because of what Christ has done. By the way, righteous people can be good people and do good things, but good people can't be righteous people without Christ. We need the righteousness of Christ. I felt like the encouragement to the dads in this room this morning is to say this, is that it's not about whether you're a good enough dad. It's all about the fact that you have a righteous father. You have a righteous King, King Jesus, that actually equips us to do what God's called us to do. And I'd say, you know, I'll explain this like an iPhone update. Some of us were born as iOS 1. Some of us were born as iOS 10. And the problem with iOS 10 or iOS 20, whatever we're up to now, 27, is it continually has to be upgraded. Right, and you have to continually, because there's improvements, there's bugs that need to be fixed, and there's security breaches that need to be corrected. But see, when you invite Jesus into your heart, it's a factory reset. It takes away the iOS system, and now you're functioning on Jesus' system. You're now functioning on the righteousness of Christ. That's what I love about Jesus, is that this is not about me trying to be good and walk this moral tightrope. Now, I'm free from that tightrope now because of what Jesus has done. That's what I love about the gospel message, is it's not a works-based gospel. It's not because of what I've done, it's because of what He's done. And so, I'm going to encourage us to continue to ask the Holy Spirit into our lives, giving us wisdom, giving us discernment to hear His voice for the season that we're in right now. And just as I encourage the dads, I'd also like to encourage everyone right now. We're taking ground as a church. Amen. Please do not be surprised if the enemy comes knocking on your door. Please do not be surprised if you feel like you've come under spiritual attack, and it manifests in the form of relational tension. The relationship between parents and their children, it manifests through a financial bill that you get in the mail that was unexpected. Please know the enemy doesn't want us to take ground. And so as a church, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about, I would rather you come here instead of being more head knowledge, I'd rather you be filled with the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray right now, right across this room, that for people, God, who have felt the enemy's attack over their life, I pray Your Holy Spirit would just fill them in this place. God, I pray a sense of peace right now. Lord, let peace flood people's hearts. And God, in our peripheral, we see all of the things that seem to be going wrong and the things that feel like they're falling apart. But Holy Spirit, we hold on to you in this moment. Holy Spirit, I pray you begin to speak to people, Lord, in a fresh way. Lord, as we go into a new season, Lord, I pray a fresh word over people's lives. God, I pray that you would expand out people's vision from what they can see right now. God, I pray that as a church, you would take us out, Lord, of thinking church, school hall, Lord, to ownership of land, Lord, of promised land. Lord, I pray as a church, and I thank you, God, that the burden doesn't just fall on Ellie and I, but it's spread amongst many. And I thank you for the sacrifice of many. Lord, we honor you for the last 9 years of what you've done. Lord, for the week by week, bumping in, bumping out, worshiping you, overcoming all of the challenges. Lord, the running of community groups. Lord, the events that we've run. Lord, for all of the different venues that we've met at all over the years. Lord, I thank you for a faithful group of people who did not quit and did not give up. And Lord, as we now head into this next season, God, I pray that we would take it boldly with faith. And Lord, we keep in mind the future generations that will one day hear about what this group of people did for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I'm really excited, of course, about the season that we are in as a church. And I'm encouraging everyone to take extra time this week and the next season of spending time with the Holy Spirit, maybe even in your quiet time and reading your scripture, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. But I also like to encourage you, if you're someone who is spirit-filled and understands what your spiritual gifts are, I want to encourage you, don't let this Sunday platform hold you back. No craziness. Amen. The Holy Spirit's not weird. That's an important piece of information there that you need to know. The person will be edified, not freaked out. Amen. The prophetic and words of knowledge have always been a supernatural blessing.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.